Okay, before you ask, no, this isn't a video about that new Commodore 64. Although, obviously, I wish Parafractic well. This is my stock C64. Well, stock other than the case, which is a retrofusion modern bread bin in glorious purple. It's my favorite computer. Plugging this 40-something-year-old beast into a modern monitor has always been a challenge. The 8-pin DIN connector can get me composite or S-video, and those are okay, but I still need an external upscaler to get it connected to a modern display. And this port over here is for video over an RF connection. But I live in a city and the video quality has always been awful. So this port is basically useless to me. In today's video, I'll walk you through how I ditched that useless port and replaced it with pixel perfect HDMI, thanks to Side Projects Labs' HD64 project. Greetings and welcome to another upgrade-tastic episode of Veronica Explains. I'm Veronica, and I use my C64 not just for putzing around the BBSs, but also for channel music, as well as playing it as a synth with my RetroTube faculty band, the Stop Bits. Since I use it all the time, I wanted to make it easier to get high-quality digital video out of it. Now, there have been other ways to do this in the past, such as the VIC-2 Kuwari, an FPGA replacement for the video chip inside the C64. I've also used Copperdragon's LumaCode boards on a few other machines. LumaCode is neat because instead of replacing an existing chip, it listens to data being transferred between the existing chip and the main board, and then it sends that out through the same port that the RF modulator used. It's very neat, and I did a live stream last year that talked about using it on my VIC-20. LumaCode has its shortcomings, though. For one, it requires an additional device to translate the video to HDMI, typically an RGB to HDMI hat connected to a Raspberry Pi. And that still doesn't grab audio signals, which means I need an audio embedder like this one to combine the analog audio into the digital HDMI signal. Which means that using LumaCode to get audio and video to a modern display looks a smidge more like a science fair project than it used to back in the day. Unlike the HD64 project. Side Projects Labs' HD64 was inspired by Copperdragon's work and takes a similar approach to getting high-quality digital video. But unlike LumaCode, HD64 does away with the external device to convert the onboard video to HDMI. It also injects the audio directly into the HDMI signal. That makes it the best way I can think of to convert your classic Commodore 64 to something that works with a modern display. Side Projects Lab has a great video about their project, and if you're into the technical details of how all this works, I'll include all the relevant links in the video description. The kit costs 109 euro as of filming, and I paid for the kit myself, thanks to the generosity of my patrons and Ko-fi supporters who make Veronica Explains possible. The package I received comes with a VIC-2 interleaver which sits between the VIC-2 and the main board, as well as an extra ribbon and socket. The replacement board for the RF modulator listens to the memory bus and recreates the video output via an open-source, onboard VIC-2 emulation implemented via an FPGA. And if you're the kind of person who's going to get big mad in my comments because there's an FPGA involved, you're wrong. Stop gatekeeping retro. The HD64 board itself came fully assembled, but there's some standoffs you'll need to attach to get the board to the right height, and some connectors which will need some soldering. And you'll need to desolder the old RF modulator in order to get this installed. The C64's RF modulator is held onto the main board by four tabs, which need to be bent straight for the removal. Then I desoldered the 4 ground points for the shield, as well as the 8 video and audio lines. The big solder blobs connecting the RF shield to the main board are tough to desolder, since there's plenty of thermal mass here. But with a little care and patience and some help from a pry bar, I was able to lift it out of place. With the RF modulator out of the way, it's time to build up the HD64 board with the included spacers. This gets the HDMI port to the same height as the RF jack on the back of the C64. Then I inserted jack headers for the HD64 into the main board and set the plug headers into the connectors. The HD64 readme told me not to put them in all the way, in order to make aligning the HDMI jack in the case a little easier. They also suggested that I add glue or sticky tape to the bottom of the standoffs, in order to keep the board in place while soldering. After inserting the board and checking the alignment, it was a quick solder job to get the plug headers connected on the top. And flipping the main board was easy, thanks to that sticky tape. And then I finished soldering the jack headers to the main board. Now, if your C64 is a short board, meaning a later revision that's a bit more condensed, you probably don't need to do this step. But my earlier revision long board needed an additional 5 volts and ground sent to the board from the expansion port. It was quick work, just needed to remove the HD64 board and add 2 wires for connecting the 2 parts together. The HD64 board even shows you where to put the wires. Nicely done, Side Projects Lab. The expansion port is where cartridges for the C64 get plugged in, and the soldering here can be tough because of the surface area involved. Just remember that patience is a virtue, and as always, the readme is your friend. It wasn't all the way ready to go already, but the instructions said it was time to verify that the HD64 board was getting the power that it needed, and that composite video was still working. So I fired it up and confirmed it with plenty of jail bars, typical of this machine's composite output. And I could see that both power LEDs were on, indicating that we're ready to get the VIC-2 connected. I gently removed the VIC-2 and inserted it into the interlever, taking care to align the notch toward the ribbon cable. Then I gently reinstalled the VIC-2 with interlever back into the socket and attached the ribbon cable to the HD64 board. Now the readme said to run a second test to make sure that the HD64 board was getting a video signal, which should light up a third LED near the HDMI port. And sure enough, it was. But before we can get cracking with an HDMI monitor, I had to set some jumpers for configuration. There's a jumper for the audio channel, sending the right channel to an external device or internally through the HDMI port. And for now, I chose the HDMI port. I haven't modded this C64 for stereo sound. Yet. There's also a jumper for setting the S-Video output to match the original C64 spec or the modern S-Video standard. And I chose the latter because I don't plan on using this 64 with an original Commodore monitor anymore. With the jumpers set, it was time to actually plug in a modern HDMI monitor directly into my Commodore 64. Putting it all back together was easy, and it made me glad that I sprung for the retrofusion case with the brass standoffs, because getting in and out of this case is a breeze. And now with dead simple HDMI output, using this on my modern display is easier than ever before. The picture is stunning, and capturing footage for the channel looks so much crisper than it did via composite. And unlike some cheap scalers, there's no discernible lag here. So playing games feels as good as I remember, and it looks as clean as an emulator. Now, because Commodore 64s might have variations in color palette, you might want to tweak the color assignments, which is trivial with the configuration utility provided by SPL and included in the GitHub release. Updating the firmware for the HD64 is easy too, thanks to the USB-C header on board. A utility has been written for running the updates, and while the executable is only offered for Windows, the Python source code has been made available. So I wouldn't be surprised if instructions pop up for the rest of us before too long. Now, if you aren't comfortable with the amount of soldering work involved with this project, you might like LumaCode more, which only requires a couple of connections in the existing RF modulator in order to work. Even if getting it connected to a modern display is still a bit more complicated. This HD64 build only took me, an amateur at PCB work, about an hour. And for around $120, this mod was an obvious choice for me. After all, this is my Commodore 64. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Unlike great FPGA solutions such as the Mister or emulators like Vice, this mod still gives me access to the user port, the cassette port, cartridges, and everything else that I've grown used to over the years. Even though there's awesome emulation options and fancy new hardware coming, I love the idea of keeping my 40-something-year-old computer running happily for just a little bit longer. Maybe you do too. For real, I don't want to hear anyone in the comments throwing shade at FPGA hardware. Let people like what they like.